I want to thank God for the spirit of praise in the house. Amen. And it has been a blessing. I'm going to ask you for the purpose of our message that we take a look in the New Testament at the book of 1 Peter in the 4th chapter. I want you to keep this theme in mind that God's work will be done. Amen. And we're going to take a reading from a text in 1 Peter that you will find, of course, right there in the New Testament. We would say this is an apostle of Jesus Christ, Peter. And, of course, he was called the Protos by Jesus himself, and that means the foremost of the apostles. Yes. He was the one to whom it was said, as we see this verse here, "And I say unto you, Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail," from Matthew 16 and 18, which is here on the program for today. But we're going to look at something Peter said, just to take a thought or two for this 37th anniversary. Amen. 37 years is a mighty long time. Let me say that. Amen. And we thank God for each and every one. And we pray that God will bless Pastor McGee's with 37 more if he needs to, just to continue to preach the word. I see him shaking his head. Amen. Amen. We want him to have the longevity to continue on. Amen. Amen. But we thank God. Let's take a look here. 1 Peter 4 in verse number 1. And it says, "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, yes, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh up to the lust of men, but to the will of God. Yes. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banqueting, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you, who shall give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. Yes. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober, and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins." We have read 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 to 8. Yes. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. May God add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the doing of his holy word. Amen. Let us have a word of prayer. Everlasting God, we bless you and we praise you, oh God, just for being God all by yourself. We thank you today, God, for letting us all be here for this celebration, God, of 37 years here on earth of ministry for this man of God and his precious first lady. God, we ask that you continue to pour out mercy, continue to pour out grace, continue to bless this church, God. West Travelers, God, bless, oh God, on every side. We look around now, right now, God, and we see that you have been blessing right here in this place, God. You have blessed so many to come forth, oh God. You have risen up saints, oh God. You have raised up the sick. You have done all kinds of wonderful works right from this place for 37 years, oh God. And we thank you because we have the motto today, God's will be done. He will get his work accomplished. And so, Father, we thank you for using such as us to accomplish the things that you desire that would be done on this earth, oh God, and particularly in this neighborhood. Father, you are able to do anything but fail. And we're thankful now, God, that you have allowed such as us to come in, oh God, and to stand in the place, oh God, and preach the word, Lord, the good life-saving gospel, God, that blesses the hearts and minds of those who hear it, oh God. And so, Father, today we thank you. We invite the presence of your spirit in this house, God. We ask you to bless right now, God. Somebody came in, wasn't feeling so good, but Lord, we ask you to boost them up right now, God. Somebody came in, oh God, had a depressed mind. We ask that you lift that spirit of depression right now, God. We ask that you let them go out shouting with joy, unspeakable and full of glory. We thank you today for your word, Lord. Thank you for your ministers here today, God. Thank you for all your children who are here today to celebrate this occasion. And Father, we invite your spirit right now. Come in right now and just bless your word as it goes forth. We give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory. And we ask it in the matchless name of your son, Jesus Christ, whom you raised from the dead and seated him at your right hand. Bless right now in the name of Jesus. We ask it all in Jesus' name. And all the saints say it together. Amen. Amen. Give God some hand praise right now. Hallelujah. We thank you today, Lord. Amen. We thank you right now, God.
Yes,
amen. We want to use just for a topic for this message, and we hope this will be just a complete blessing for all of you. Conviction and audacity. Just two words. Conviction and audacity. Amen. That's what you need in these times that we live in. We live in a time when the world is filled with trouble. When it looks like sin is overtaking that which is good. We live in a time when it looks like the church is being bullied around in the world. But we know for sure, underneath all the way it looks, God is at work. God's work will be done. God will have his way. Doesn't make any difference how it looks on the outside, but what's going on the inside. God's people have come to a time when we are being provoked about many things that God has said. And so what the church needs right now today is a good dose of these two things that we have mentioned, conviction and audacity. This is what you need at times like this, when the world is closing in, they're calling stuff this evil good, they're doing all kinds of things that are unacceptable in the sight of God, and then they act like they want to make it where you can shut your mouth, put a muzzle on the church. Well, you know what? That won't happen. The church needs to be filled with conviction about the truth, and also the audacity to stand up and say that which is right. And so if we have those two things, I think we can go on. Amen. And I thank Pastor Pegues and all these other men of God who are here today, that they take a stand in their pulpits and they tell the church what thus saith the Lord. We don't just speak it to the church, we invite the world in to hear the good news, because we don't have a bad report in spite of what they think. They think the church is in there condemning people and shutting folks down and all that. And you know what? We invite everybody. I don't care what you involved in, come through these doors and hear it from the word. Hear the good news. We have good news. We don't have any bad news.
Amen.
The news we have in here is good news.
Yeah.
It's not only good news, it's the best news on the planet.
Yeah.
Amen. CNN, you ain't got nothing on this. We got the best news on the planet.
Yeah.
And this is a universal message for whosoever will.
Yeah.
The author and the finisher of our faith said, whosoever will, let him come. Amen. So our doors are open no matter what you're dealing with. And not only that, but no matter what your problems are, the church has the answer. But the church must not crumble under the weight of external pressure. But we have to realize that we have to have conviction about that which is true. Amen. You know, because if we start to back up and allow the world to press us into its mold, then we're going to be in a lot of trouble. Amen. But we thank God that we're not going to do that. And that's why we wanted to pump you up with this message today. Conviction and audacity.
We need both of those. Yes, we do.
Yes, we do. If we know what's true, then, and we do because we have the word of God, we're the only people who really know what's true.
All right.
You got a lot of people speculating out there in the world about a lot of stuff. But you and I have factual information.
Yes, we do.
We have the most factual information in the universe.
Yes.
The Bible says in Mark 13 and 31, the heavens and the earth shall pass away. But my word shall never pass away.
Never.
God has ordained that his word will stand even when the heavens and earth have been rolled up like a scroll. Amen. So you and I have to have the conviction to preach that. And not only that, but we have to have the audacity. God has configured the world around his son. I don't care what people say and whether they like it or not, it's the truth. The world has been configured around Jesus Christ.
Amen. Yes, it has.
They don't have to believe nor accept it. But you know, it would be foolish if you look at that calendar And the calendar says it's 2015. That's 2015 years since Jesus was born. Whether you like it or you don't. When you see it, you ought to like it. Because the world is not configured around anybody but Jesus. Your birth certificate or every document in your life, your tombstone is going to be configured around Jesus. So if you don't like it, you need to. And I want to let you know, he didn't come to put you down. He came to pick you up. He didn't come to make you feel bad. He came to give you relief from whatever it is that's bothering you. Whatever going on in your life or in your house that's not right, he came to give you relief. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And in me you shall find rest for your soul. So many people need rest and they're running around trying to figure it out. They're running to the wrong people getting bad advice. Going to the psychiatrist and all these other people who don't know what they're talking about. And all they need to do is come to Jesus. Jesus said, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now what we're looking at here today to get us into our text is the Apostle Peter. The fisherman, the Galilean fisherman, Peter.
Yes.
And he says here, after spending time with Jesus, learning who the Master was.
Yes.
He says, for as much then as Christ hath suffered for us. Notice that.
Yes.
The suffering of Christ was for us.
For us.
It was not against us.
Yes.
It was for us. Not only was it for us, but it was also for God.
Yes.
The Son suffered for the Father.
Yes.
And he also suffered for all of us.
Yes.
Basically, who need a Savior.
Yes.
We need a way to be saved.
Yes.
And so Peter says, for as much then as Christ has suffered. Now he's looking at it from the human angle. For us, I like that. The fact that he suffered for me.
Yes.
I don't know if you ever personalize these things when you read them. And he says he suffered for us in the flesh.
Uh-huh.
Now that was the Son coming into the flesh, the incarnation of God.
Yes.
God incarnate in the flesh came and suffered for us.
Yes.
That's what Peter's saying.
Yes.
He says, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind.
Yes.
That's the same thing Paul said to the Philippians, didn't he? He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. See, Jesus came, he was God in the flesh. And he said, arm yourself with the same purpose that I come in the flesh to please my Father. So when he gets in your flesh, guess what you ought to be trying to do? You ought to be trying to please his Father. See, that's the purpose of him. Arm yourself with the same purpose. What Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind or purpose. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Now do you realize there's power in that verse? If you realize Jesus died to pay the debt for all your sin and you believe him, guess what? Your slate is clean. Your sins have been paid for. God has chosen not to see your sin anymore. He blinds himself to your sin. He cast your sins into the depths of the sea, never to be remembered anymore. Micah 7:19. He says, as far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed your transgressions from you. In the Psalm, he said, I came to take away your sin. Think about that. So the only way you can have your sin purged is to arm yourself with the same purpose as Christ, who came into the world, suffered for us in the flesh, and he said, likewise, have the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. You want to let sin go? Think about what Jesus did for you. Arm yourself with it. Next time sin knocks on the door of your mind and threatens you with a temptation, think about what Jesus did for you.
Yes.
He says, the soul that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Yes. Paul said, if any man be in Christ, he's what? A new creature.
Yes.
All things have what?
Passed
away.
Yes.
Behold, all things are become new. You have a new life.
Yes.
In Christ Jesus.
Yes.
So if you arm yourself with the same mind, basically this will give you the conviction to defeat sin.
Yes.
Not only for you, but you can also share it.
All right.
God is a generous God. He wants us to share the message. We don't want to put it under a bushel, Jesus said, but put it on the lampstand so it can give light to the whole house. You see, you want to share it. Be generous with it. He has more salvation than what we have audacity. But we need to have the audacity to share it. Sometimes we let the world shut our mouths. They get kind of a little bold waving the freedom flag. You know, they're awfully bold in sin. So we need to be even more bold with the truth. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. See, it'd be people like say set you free. The word says it's going to make you free. Saturate your mind with God's word and see what it make you free. I promise you, if you're not free, you need more saturation. You need more conviction. You need to study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Saturate your mind. If you're still struggling with some sin that won't let you go, saturate your mind with some more truth. Get on your knees. Go send up some knee mail. Get off the email and send up a little knee mail. And see what will happen. Instead of Facebook, spend some FaceTime with God. Cut the Facebook off if it's not helping you get out of sin. You see what I mean? Because only God can fully convince a sinner to believe the gospel. Did you know that? If we're saved in here, any of us today, it's because one day God called you. Jesus said, you have not chosen me. In John 15, verse 16, I have chosen you. And I ordained you. So don't forget, don't get the cart before the horse. God calls you. But you know how he does it? He uses people like us, jars of clay, crackpots, if you will, filled with the message of truth. And he uses crackpots so it can spill out and get on somebody else. You got to fill it up and he's going to spill it out. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, what? The mouth speaketh. So if you don't have it coming out your mouth, put some more in. You got to put some more in. If it's not overspilling out your mouth, you don't have enough in. Put some more in. What that takes is conviction. You got to set your priorities. And that's why Paul says, set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth. The earth tries to consume you. It wants to consume all your time till you don't have time for the Bible. You got to do this. You got to do that. You got to go here. You got to go there. Cut it off. Turn it off. Meditate in the law of the Lord day and night. Stop taking the bad advice. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Get away from those people telling you bad advice. Let your delight be in the law of the Lord, and in his law meditate day and night. Then you'll be like a tree, he said, planted by the rivers of water to bring forth his fruit in the season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. See? So plant yourself in the book. Plant your face in the word. Cut off the Facebook, whatever you got to do to get the conviction you need to have what you need to do, what we need in these last and evil days. We live in a very evil time. But it's nothing new. I just want to let you know. The things the world does comes in cycles. You know, the Roman Empire failed because they made same-sex marriage legal. Crumbled to pieces. It has this. Sodom and Gomorrah failed for the same reason. We can go on and on. This is nothing new. What we see in our culture is nothing new. And there have been people who have trusted God the whole time along the way. You see, and God has delivered out of such a bondage. But the deliverance comes to those who trust God. Now, Peter says, arm yourself with the same purpose, for the one who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. The Bible says that those who are not saved are dead in their trespasses and sin. Ephesians 2:2. We are dead in trespasses and sin, but he makes us alive and seats us in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. See, and that's what God wants to do for you. If you're not saved, he loves you just like you are. And he wants you to be saved. He uses the message of the good news of the gospel to call you to himself. He says, I don't care what you're struggling with. I don't care how long you've been going through it. If you want to lay it down, do it now. And I have given my son to cover you, to pay the entire debt of what you owe me. So you can come to me and know that you're at peace with me. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, as we said, he's a new creature. But therefore being justified, Paul says in Romans, by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, so if you want to be at peace with God, trust in his son, Jesus Christ. You have no reason not to. In fact, you have every reason to trust Christ. Because Jesus Christ is the person in the center of time. You know, from right now, 2015 is because of Jesus. You know, and we worry about what's going to happen in the future. Well, Jesus is already there, and he was already in the past. Time before him is called BC, before Christ, and he is the only one with that credential. So you have every reason to trust Christ. And basically, when you do, when you stop playing games and realize that he is the way, the truth, and the life, no one can come to the Father but by him, then you will accept him, and he will give you power. He says, I will give you power over your sin. I'll give you power over greed, over lust, over any of these things that you're struggling with. Notice this as we move forward. He says that he, speaking of Peter in 1 Peter 4:2, that he no longer should live in the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men. See, all people have lust, basically, is a human characteristic of desire. Okay, it can be good, it can be bad. If it's excessive, it's bad all the time. You know, it's not wrong to have lust within a marital relationship.
All right.
Hello. For your conjugal partner that God has given you. See, now, but there are times when it gets carried away. And people step away from the God-ordained position and began to lust over other things. It can even be food. When you want food to eat, food basically is a drive or a lust. It's a desire that you have in your heart. It can be excessive. Sometimes we eat too much. So a lot of things that you desire, normal desires, basically when they get out of control, they can be a problem. But what God wants you to do is meditate in his word, realize that he loves you. Any excesses that you have in any of these areas, he wants to give you control. So that you can control the way you live and do things in a godly way that gives honor and glory to God. He says, don't live your life any longer in the lust of men, but to the will of God. And then he says, for the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. In other words, all while you were lost, you did all that already. You filled up with it. But now he says, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. He's just given a brief punch list of the kind of stuff we used to do. And you may still have a little struggle with some of that. You might go, okay, preacher, I'm still having an issue with some of these on the list. If you do, have a stronger conviction. How do you do that? You want to expose the problem, first of all. You want to discuss it. Don't keep it in the closet. I heard Brother Douglas talking about, I'm out the closet. Well, come on out the closet. Bring it on out. Let everybody understand that everybody in here is scuffling with something. There's nobody in here who's not feeling a little conviction right now. Yeah, I'm preaching this, but I'm convicted. I'm going to let you know right now. And conviction is not bad. It's a good thing. It's a good thing when you hear good preaching. And the preaching makes you think about where you are and what you're doing and how you can improve your life. That's always a good thing. That's why you need men of God who preach the word. That's why we honor Pastor Pegues, because he's been here preaching the word. And many of you have found yourself getting cleaner in your life and moving forward in the things of God. That's an excellent thing. So don't ever think there's anything wrong with that. If you feel conviction, good. You're supposed to. Now notice what he says, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them in the same excess of riot. When you get saved, you don't want to hang around with people who are going down the garbage pit. You start to back away. You start to get a little standoffish. You start to stand up with the people who are walking with God that can keep me from crossing the line. There's somebody here hear a friend of yours in the church who understands what you're going through. There's somebody, if you're struggling with anything, whether it be cigarettes or drugs or too much drinking or any of that, somebody else is having the same problem.
That's right.
Right here in the family of God, or either they've been through it already and God has given them victory. But it's not that we don't understand it. We understand those kind of things. The devil wants you to think you're the only one dealing with that. And I got you. You don't know you don't. You ain't got me. Jesus has got me. And the Holy Ghost has got me. And conviction is coming up on me. And I'm going to stand before God and my brothers and sisters in Christ and deal with it. That's what you need. You need the conviction to say, I'm going to take this thing up, take up the sword of the Spirit and deal with it. And God will give you the power to do it. That's what Peter's talking about. Arm yourself with the same purpose.
Amen.
Now think about this. Jesus came into the world with no sin.
No sin.
He was the spotless Son of God.
Yes, he was.
Came out of heaven perfect and holy.
Yes.
Born of a virgin. No sin. None of Adam's blood entered his veins.
Yes.
That's why God designed the virgin birth.
Yes.
To bring his son in. Do you know women right now? I just had a granddaughter on yesterday. She was born. And I thank God for her. But I know her father was a sinner. Now, and the big difference is, I'm not trying to cast anything on the little baby. I'm very happy that she came into the world with no problems.
Amen.
Other than the problems that are already here. The same ones the rest of us got. But what God did was design a supernatural way for his son to be born. When, you know when he did it? When he made Eve.
All right.
Amen.
Hello. When he made Eve, he did it. Because he said it's not good that the man should be alone. That's the first thing the Bible says, it was not good. And that's before there was any sin in the world. There was no sin yet. Adam hadn't even sinned. And that's the first thing in the Bible that says it's not good that the man should be alone. Boy, you look at that and you go, wow, boy, that's powerful. Every time I see that and think about there was no sin, and what was God's solution? Eve. He took and made a woman. You know what he was thinking? I need a way to bring my son into the world with no sin. So he made the woman where she does not share the bloodstream of the child. And so that when the fullness of time was come, God could send forth his son made of a woman born under the law, like he told the serpent after the sin hit. Genesis 3:15, he said, upon your belly shalt you go, and dust shalt you eat all the days of your life, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. That's a prophecy of the birth of Christ. Right there, as soon as the sin hit the scene. You see, and God had made woman where she does not contribute to the bloodstream. That's why we're sinners, because of Adam, not because of Eve. The blood of Adam is in your veins, in my veins. So we got a problem. But when God sent forth his only begotten son, he was begotten of the virgin in the virgin's womb. There was no sin in his blood whatsoever. In order for him to be born with no sin, none of the blood of Adam in his veins. This was a supernatural miracle that God designed all the way back in Genesis. He had conceived it in his mind from the foundation of the world. And so this is how God chose to save you. It's to give his own son, and allow him to live in the world spotless and without any sin nature whatsoever. To walk holy before God for 33 and a half years. 3.5 years was his earthly ministry, in which he sanctified the disciples in order to call them his apostles, to send them into the world with the message of the gospel. The good news that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, that means any of us, anybody in here, anybody out of here, whosoever, anyone on the world who believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So Peter says he came, and he wants you to arm yourself with the same purpose. Even though Jesus had no sin, he was on a mission to pay the debt for your sin and mine. He was on a mission to satisfy God. No one else ever satisfied God but Jesus. And he did it not for himself but for me and you. And he did it for God. You need to understand that. God can't just let a bunch of sinners go free.
That's right.
And he will be an accomplice with me in my sin. But you know what he did? He put the weight of my sin on his son. And Jesus was lifted up between heaven and earth. The Bible says there's one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And he hung, bled, and died for your sins and mine. He was the only one that satisfied God. God forsook him on the cross to let you see that not not even me forsaking him will kill him.
Wow.
Because he's still holy.
Yeah.
He's hanging between heaven and earth. Satan has put everything on him. Mankind has put everything on him. The Jews put everything on him. The Gentiles put everything on him. And he hung there and took it all.
Yeah.
And said, it is finished when it was all done.
Yeah.
God forsook him on the cross. He said, my God, my God, why have you forsaken me?
Yeah.
But he didn't die. That didn't kill him.
Nope.
If he had forsaken me, I would just go out of existence, probably tumble into a pit of hell so deep it would be unbelievable.
Yeah.
But Christ was able to hang there with no assistance from the Father, bearing your sin and mine. When he was done, he said, it is finished. Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit.
Yeah.
And he gave a spotless, unblemished spirit back to God, which is what God had given Adam. And he did all that for you and for me.
Me.
Amen. So he said, arm yourself with the same purpose.
Yeah. Glory, hallelujah.
Think about what Christ did for you.
Yes.
Arm yourself with the same purpose.
Yes.
When people think it's strange, you don't hang out with them, say, you don't know what I know. Let me sit you down and tell you what Jesus did for you.
Yes.
Speak it out. Let them know.
Yes.
If we don't tell them, God's going to require their blood at our hands.
Watch out.
So we want to make sure we tell them. They're going to speak evil of you, Peter says here in verse 4.
Yes.
Who shall give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached unto them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit.
Uh-huh.
Now he says, but the end of all things is at hand. You and I live closer to the time when Christ will return.
Yes.
It's time for us to shape up our ship.
All right.
We need to have strong conviction about who Jesus is.
Yeah.
And how we are connected to him.
Yeah.
Don't think of it as a secondary thing.
All right.
This ought to be at the top of your list.
Yes, sir.
You need to have conviction, and not only that, but audacity to confront those who oppose the truth.
All right.
All you have to do is tell them. They may speak evil of you, but you know what? The glory of God rests upon you when people speak evil of you if you stand up for Christ. So that's why he says this. But the end of all things are at hand, but ye therefore be sober and watch unto prayer. You're going to have to pray your way through it. And above all things, have fervent love one for another among yourselves. For love will cover the multitude of sins. See, we're not on a witch hunt to expose people or any of that, but we want them to know that God loves you.
Yes.
Just like you are. You haven't done anything for which he is not willing to forgive you.
Yes.
You're not in any pit that he can't get you out of.
Yes.
You're not in any bondage that he can't break the chains.
Yes.
And if you trust him right now, he will do it.
Yes.
We got witnesses right here.
Yes.
In this room. Got one right here at this pulpit.
Yes.
So if we don't tell them, God has fixed it so that we must tell the sinner about Christ.
Yes.
And it is through that message, the Bible says, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes.
Yeah.
We don't know who they are. I have no idea if you are one God is choosing or not.
Right.
So I want to tell you, then if he chooses you, we'll know.
Yeah.
You know, so and if he doesn't choose, it's not my business. I discharge my responsibility before God because I told you that God wants you to trust his son.
Yeah.
He is the only one that will make you acceptable to God. There's no works that you can do to be right with God. But if you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, he is ready right now to forgive you of all your sin and wipe your slate clean.
Yes.
I need to have audacity to tell you that.
Yes.
That takes audacity. That's going to be a spiritual overflow out of your life because of the fullness of the word of God and the spirit of God within you.
Yes.
So the pressures of the decay of the fallen world are ever increasing.
Yes.
And we see the pride of the wicked raising the bar, as it were, each and every day to wash out the truth. That's what's going on in the world.
Yeah.
And to sequester and suppress the voice of the truth.
Yeah.
And to give a tendency even to those professing to know the truth to shut their mouths and to give in to the debauchery that's closing in on the world. But those who are saved must maintain a godly audacity to confront the culture speaking the truth in love.
Yeah.
You know, real love will tell you if you got a problem.
Yeah.
It won't confront confront you and embarrass you, but it will tell you.
Yes.
I'm going to pull you to the side and say, hey, you know, let me talk to you.
Yes.
Like John Rivers, you say, can we talk? I'll bring you to the side and tell you what the situation is.
Yes.
And let you know, I'm not telling you to condemn you. I want you to know about God's Son.
Yes.
Who died on the cross.
Model.
For your sins, was buried in the grave.
Yes.
Got up, proving that he had authority over death,
yes,
hell, and the grave.
Yes.
He's the only one ever did that. Did you know that?
Yes.
I've said that to some people and they looked at me like, oh, no, they don't know. Well, I don't know if they believed or not, but I had the audacity to tell them. Now, what about you?
Yes.
Where do you stand?
All right.
This audacity can only be nurtured in the loving environment of the cleansing fellowship of God's people who fully understand the power of the gospel to forgive sin, create conviction, and produce love which covers a multitude of sin.
Yes.
That's what we call the church.
Yes.
Amen. So I thank God for 37 years of preaching the word. I want to commend you for being here.
Yes.
I want to commend all these men of God.
Yes.
For preaching the word.
Yes.
I want to commend all you first ladies and even all you saints,
yes,
who stand for the word of truth.
Yes.
And I want to commend you to be bold,
yes,
and work on exercising conviction and audacity.
Yes.
Amen. And we'll come back to celebrate another year,
yes,
with Pastor McGee next time. Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
All right. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.